Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On Monday, Austin Hooper signed with the Browns, and we had him on the show. And we were talking to him about what he knows about Cleveland, and he referenced a couple of guys that we know well, including our next guest, Gary Barnage, our old friend, Browns tight end, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Gary, how you been, man? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you having me. Been doing good. Can't complain.
What are you doing these days? What are you doing? What are you up to?
Working on my nonprofit, which is where Hoop joined me and Jordan on my nonprofit, American Football Without Barriers, whatever she's doing camps. We're in Hungary doing the camp over there. Hoop, this was his second camp with us, so it's been great. Working on that full-time, basically, and that and the podcast with D'Angelo Williams.
Oh, that's cool. Well, tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, so my podcast is me and D'Angelo, we just basically talk about anything and everything.
Yeah.
Not about just sports. It's literally anything we want to talk about, we'll discuss, and we'll talk about it, give our opinions, our thoughts. And it's just a fun way just to just talk about everything and don't really have any guidelines and just have fun with it.
I know you always loved movies, and right now it's with everything going on, it's really awful, and you know, one of the millions of things that have been canceled, a lot of movies here. I know I'm particularly bummed that I won't be able to see Black Widow on May 1st, but have you seen any good movies recently?
Honestly, like you said, there hasn't been much
out,
like, because they pushed everything back. I've been putting a lot of gaming lately.
Okay.
Just been playing a lot of video games and watching movies that I own at home. And I know on demand they're started to make it where people can actually watch stuff early and might not make it into theaters. They'll just put it on demand for people to watch, which is good.
Yeah.
From a tight end perspective, can you tell us about Austin Hooper? Tell us what you know. Tell us what you like about him. Tell him what you see when you watch someone that played the same position do what he does.
Yeah, if you watch what he did with the Falcons, he always got open. That's one thing you can say for him. He always got open. Matt Ryan knew how to find him, and he caught the ball. And every year he's produced, and he's going to keep putting up numbers. And I think it just gives another weapon to the Cleveland offense.
Gary, when we asked him what you told him about Cleveland, he said you hated. No, I'm just kidding. He said you said that the Browns had the best fans in all of sports. Tell us why you think that.
I definitely think they have the best fans because they've had so much struggles through the times, and the fans stick with them no matter what. No matter how bad things get, they stick with them and they fight with them, and they want them to do better, and they always strive for them to do better. And that's hard to get from fans. A lot of times fans, they want to leave. They'll be fair weather. They'll like you when you're good, and they'll hate you when you're bad. But the Browns fans stick with you no matter what, and they deserve a winner, and they're eventually going to get it. It just takes time, and it's unfortunate it's taken forever.
So there's a top tier for tight ends, you know, the Ertzes of the world, right? And then I believe Austin Hooper is in that next tier.
Kittle.
Well, yeah, like knocking
Kelsey
on the door of those three that we just mentioned right there. He's called, I mean, fifth in receptions, sixth in yards, fifth in touchdowns, all while doing it in 13 games. He can be in that next tier. What part of his game, though, does he have to work on to go ahead and take him from this tier two to tier one?
I think the main thing is just being more well-rounded. I know he wasn't called on as much for run blocking. They didn't ask him to do as much. I think just having that aspect, get improving on that, because I think he's already proven he can do it in the pass game. He can get open, he can catch the ball, he can get yards, all that kind of stuff. I think that's the next facet, and then that makes him the complete tight end. And that's what I always strive to be, was a complete tight end. And I think a lot of the league has gone away from having complete tight ends. They have a guy who can catch, and then they bring in a blocker who can block. They don't have somebody that does both. That's why you see the guys that do both are considered the upper echelon of the guys.
We're talking with former Browns tight end Gary Barnage. Gary, you know, you talk about him adding to the weapons the Browns have, but it all goes to the quarterback, right? The Browns, as you know, have struggled to find a quarterback. Baker Mayfield in his rookie season played really well, put up record numbers for rookie. Last year, he struggled mightily. What do you believe is the real Baker Mayfield?
I think he might be in between. I think the thing is, you gotta balance it. You gotta remember that everybody gave all these expectations on the offense last year and everything, and everybody was talking all that kind of stuff. This year, you're not hearing any of that. Guys are just going in, they're going to work, going to do what they're going to do, and I think that's going to take the pressure off. Because I think trying to live up to the pressure that was getting put on people as an offense in general, not even just Baker, just as an offense, it's hard to live up to that type of stuff. And I think just not having those expectations, just let him go out and play and let him do what he does, I think he's going to show he's a very good quarterback.
So we've seen video of Baker in the past couple of days, and he's throwing it like Travis, and he's trying to, you know, stay in shape and make sure that he gets a lot of reps in. But with coronavirus, it's really tough right now. Like, how are these players, how are you going to try to work on yourself in the offseason? Like, what would you personally do if you were affected by this right now and you're still playing?
Well, honestly, this is probably not going to be liked by a lot of people, but I think you have to just reach out to guys at the places you live and reach out to guys on other teams and just work with them, because at least you're getting work. Even if they're going to play for another team, at least you have that caliber of player you can work on getting better with. It doesn't matter because you're just working on catching, throwing, doing those type of things. Yeah, you might be working with somebody that plays for a different team, but it's a way for both of you to get work and improve your game during this time, because you're not going to be able to get with all the guys that you usually throw with or work with. So that would be something you can do. And I think a lot of guys should think about doing that. They might not know people, but they know people that do know people in that area that can get you in touch and talk to them and stuff like that.
Yeah, the tricky thing is obviously we got to be at a big group. So if you're going to do that, you'd have to keep it really small. You know, right now, like two or three people, and just kind of stay away from each other. And just maybe you constantly wiping off that ball, whatever.
If you're a quarterback, you can yell out the routes.
Fair.
So, like, you can still run a tight end. You can run receiver routes. You can do, because you don't actually have to be near each other. All I think is you got to sanitize the ball, stuff like that. But other than that, I think it's capable of doing it. It's just a lot of stuff you have to work around.
If they're, let's say, I mean, we don't know when life's going to get back to normal, Gary. It could be a month from now. It could be 6 months from now. It could be a year from now. We really don't know. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just saying we've never gone through this, so we don't know what the game plan is. But let's say, in theory, we get back to normal life in August, right? It takes 6 months to get back to normalcy. And there's no off-season program at all. Like, how much time do you think players would need to get ready for a season if they had no real off-season at all?
Well, I think the hardest part, if it came to that, the part that would be the hardest would be guys with new coaches, which would be tough for the Browns.
Yeah.
Because you got to learn a whole new system and a training camp session. That's really hard to do without having any reps. So I think every team with a new coach, it would take them 4 to 6 weeks into the season before everything starts grooving, because it takes time to learn it all. Every offense is so intricate, and you have so much you got to learn. Trying to jam it in a abbreviated training camp would be really hard to do. I think the teams that would have the advantage would be the guys that have been together forever. They know everything, same offense. I think it'd be seamless for them. I don't think they would actually need all the off-season stuff. I think they could go right into training camp. I think we proved that with the lockout year. You saw when we came back from the lockout, because I played during the lockout, there was teams that were gelled together, already been together forever. They clicked as soon as the season started. All they needed was training camp. So I think that's a big thing that's lost on a lot of people.
Gary, I'm curious, you started your career in Carolina and you played with Cam Newton. You played for Ron Rivera. Sometimes it's time for a coach to go. I get it. But the emotion we saw from people within the Carolina organization after firing Ron Rivera was pretty unusual. And now Cam Newton is out the door. He's angry. They're kind of pushing him out, and he's going to end up somewhere else. What do you think about what's happened there?
I think they're just trying to start new. I think that's what it is. I think they just feel like they needed to start new. Like, and I can understand how people felt with Rivera, because I played for him. He is a very personal guy. He wants to get to know everybody. He looks after everybody. He doesn't just do football and that's it. He wants to know everybody. He wants to meet everybody, and he wants to make it a family atmosphere. So you grow really attached to him.
Yeah.
And then with the Cam issue, I think the team, the new coach come in, he wants his type of thing coming in, and then also they don't know how his health's going to be. I think he's going to surprise people. I think he's going to go out there and show he can be the old Cam. He might not run as much, I think he'll still be able to do the things he was able to do. I think Carolina just doesn't want to wait to find out.
I want to relate that time in Carolina, though, to what's going on with David Njoku, if you'll allow me here, Gary, because you had Ron Rivera, and you can admit your career took off in Cleveland. Like, that's when it like started to really, yeah, the Pro Bowl season, 1,000 yards. Like, you became the man in Cleveland, where Carolina, it seemed like, you know, it wasn't the right fit. It just didn't really work the same way. David Njoku last year, you can make the case, wasn't the right fit here in Cleveland. He was injured, but it never really jived between him and Freddie Kitchens. What do you see with Njoku getting a fresh start with Kevin Stefanski? Like, can you mentally just say, okay, I might have the same quarterback, I might have some of the same offensive weapons, but I have a new guy in charge, and I have a new front office, and I can use this as a new situation?
Yeah, I think for him, it's a fresh start. So for him, I think he should take it full head and don't let the signing of Austin Hooper get him down, because you can't. You can't allow that. You just allow it to make you better and all that kind of stuff. But I think he just got brought in a situation where the team was not ready for everything they were going to do, and he was thrust in and he was told, hey, you got to do all this. And they had all these expectations on him. And that's a lot of pressure to have. And he just wasn't ready yet. He just wasn't ready for all that pressure to be put on him yet. I think he has the talent, and I think the coaches just got to work with him versus just throwing him to the fire and saying, okay, you're going to learn on the go. It's really hard to do that as a rookie. Not a lot of guys succeed like that, especially at tight end position. It's very tough. It's tough to succeed as a rookie thrown in, because there's a lot that goes into it between blocking everything, knowing everything. You basically got to know a whole offense of every position, because you can line up at every position. So it's a lot to throw at somebody as a rookie and expect them to do everything you expect right away.
We're talking with former Browns tight end Gary Barnidge. Gary, the players just voted, not by a lot, but it was close, but they voted to approve the new collective bargaining agreement, which will mean labor peace in the NFL for the next 11 years. Are you surprised that the majority of players agreed to play that 17th game?
I do. I don't think they got enough in return. I think there's a lot of stuff with retired players that was affected that they probably don't look at. And I think everybody's looking up right now, oh, there's extra money for this.
Yeah.
But if you break it down, it really doesn't turn into an actual lot of money for those players. I read an interesting piece. I don't know who it was, because it was an anonymous player wrote for The Athletic. He was a practice squad / bubble guy, and he wrote a whole article talking about how he felt the CBA was terrible, and he's one of the guys that's supposed to benefit. And so they're talking about how this is going to help the lesser guys, so to say. And you have one of them clearly saying that this is not great, and he broke it down every detail why it was bad, things that were good, things that were terrible, and why he voted no. Now, we don't know who it is, but I just think it's an interesting aspect, and I don't like the fact that 500 guys didn't vote.
Yeah.
I just didn't agree with that. I think you should vote. It's affecting your life, and it's the next, if you're going to play for 10 years, it's going to affect you for the next 10 or 11 years. It's just a lot to throw at the guys, and I think a lot of them don't read it. They don't read it because they send a 340-something page. Nobody's going to read that. No offense, but they know the players aren't going to read that. They're going to go by what they see on the guidelines or what the PA sends out or what their player reps send out, and that's what they're going to go by. They don't actually read everything, so they don't see all the negatives. All they get harped on is the positives, which I disagree with.
Gary, I know you're a big wrestling fan. I know you did some stuff with D'Angelo Williams with Impact Wrestling. What do you think about Gronk getting a deal? Do you think he'll actually be good at it, or do you think maybe they should have called you instead?
I don't think I would want to wrestle. I know the toll it takes on your body. I think it's just for fun to mess around every once in a while. But it surprised me, honestly, because Gronk walked away from football because he didn't trust his body. His body was breaking down, all that kind of stuff. And everybody knows wrestling's terrible on your body. You're taking bumps all day. You're doing all this kind of stuff. So basically, just it's the same exact pain he's getting put on. So he quit one. He retired from one to go do another that's going to destroy his body. So it didn't make sense to me. And I know he has a buddy that's a wrestler, so, and it's going to be good for ratings for the WWE and all that kind of stuff. I understand all that. But as me looking at, as he was a player, that was the reason he walked away, because of his health. And now he's going to another field that's going to affect his health again. So I don't really understand it.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in seeing what they do with him. And it'll be fun.
Gary, good stuff, man. Good to catch up with you. Stay safe to you and your family, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Gary.
No problem. I appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Gary Barnidge, former Browns tight end. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!